And thank you for joining us today on 103.9 LI News Radio for Financially Fit, where you will learn how to build your money muscles by making small changes and get in better financial shape. I'm Dina Isola, joined by my husband, business partner, and certified financial planner, Tony Isola, and we're looking forward to sharing insights from our fee-only fiduciary registered investment advisor firm, ATI Investment Consulting, located in Stony Brook. Our mission is to educate and empower you so that you can not only get stronger financially and make better decisions, but also so that you're never taken advantage of. This show is for you, and we're really hoping to hear from you so that we can tailor future shows so that they would be very helpful to you. So call us 631-675-1420 or email us Dina, D-I-N-A, at atiinvestment.com. Remember, visit our website, atiinvestment.com. We have a lot of resources. We have a blogs and radio tab where you can listen to replays of the show. And you could also access Tony's blog on maliceforall.com, my blog on realsmartica.com. So we hope you make use of that. It's a lot of really good educational information. Just to recap, the last couple of weeks we've been going over what you can control, namely what you pay for your investments, your fees, your diversification strategies, how you're putting your money to work, who to get advice from, how to strengthen yourself by educating yourself, all these different ways to empower you. Well, today and the weeks ahead, we're going to dive into making a plan. And we're really going to start at the very, very beginning because a lot of people don't have a plan. They may not even have right now the resources to start a plan. So we really want to dive into that for you. Also, does the word budget kind of feel like the word diet to you? So we have some easy tips to get a handle on your budget that are relatively painless. Also, are your teens getting ready to head off to college or maybe handling their money for the first time? You won't want to miss our advice on teaching them how to cut the fat out of their budget so they won't be calling you every 5 minutes for money. We hope you'll stay tuned for the second half because there's lots of useful information coming your way.
The main focus is on things you can control. And one thing that we need to also mention again is time. And that's something you have control over and how you spend it. And all of this is pointless if you don't spend the time using some of this advice that we're trying to give you. Knowledge without applying it is, you might as well not have the knowledge then. So it's very important if you're listening to not only spend your time listening, but then creating some time to do some of these things that we're recommending you do.
He's absolutely right.
And while we were going to talk about the plan.
Here we go. Come on, push it out.
I think we could start off on a positive note. The only bad financial plan is no plan. So if you do something, it's better than nothing, right? Having no plan is really what's bad. Everything else can be worked with. And I think the two important items you have to start thinking about is something called your balance sheet and also your income statement. And your balance sheet is simply what items you own that are worth something and what items you own that you owe money on. And taking the difference between the two. So for instance, if you kind of make a little T-chart, right? And on one side, maybe you could put your house, your car, whatever money you have in the bank, your stocks, bonds, if you have any of that stuff, total it up. On the other side of the T-chart, put the money you owe. That could be your mortgage, your car loan, your credit card debt.
Student loan debt.
Add those up. Now, hopefully, the side of the assets that are worth something is worth more than what you owe. And that's what you call your net worth, right? And the idea is to have a very positive net worth. If you have a negative net worth, that means the first step in your financial plan would be to reduce debt. If you're pretty much even, then you're starting from scratch and, you know, you work on increasing your assets. But that's something you have to be aware of. And to be honest, most people, if you ask them what their net worth is, they would have no idea, you know, what it is. And it's impossible to even think about creating a financial plan if you have no idea what you're worth.
One way to build your net worth is also to look at your income statement, what money you have that is coming in and what money is going out. And again, if you do the T-chart, kind of like what Tony was saying, you just write it down on an index card. That's a really good way to see where the money is going. And is that where you intend the money to go?
Right. And again, just, you know, as an example, on the one side, right, on the left-hand side, you would put your income. So that would include your salary, right? If you're getting any interest out of the bank, which you're probably not,
yeah,
or,
right.
you know, stock dividends or anything like that, total it up. On the other side will be what's going out. So what's coming in every month? What's going out every month? If there is a surplus, that creates savings that now can be allocated into your emergency fund and then possibly into different forms of retirement accounts and investment accounts. If obviously you have a negative income statement, it means more money is going out than is coming in, which the only way that that can be rectified is by debt. So most likely, if you have a negative income statement, it means you're financing the balance on a very high interest credit card, most likely. And again, now, before you begin that financial plan, this situation has to be changed. So if you have a situation where your income statement is negatively balanced, you have to really work on cutting back your spending, obviously, before you could create a financial plan, because there is no savings available to invest in yourself or in markets.
And later in the show, we are going to go over ways to get a handle on your budget and to track your budget that are pretty painless. Also on our site, ATIinvestment.com, the resources tab has an area for worksheets. And there is budget information there. And there's also beginnings of a financial plan if you're further along on your journey.
Right.
But there's something, Tony, that I know you like to talk about with money. And it's actually getting people to focus on what money means to them, what the value of money is for them, because it's different things for different people. And that will determine their plan.
Right. What is most important to you about money? And it's not really an easy question to answer because everybody's different. You know, you might ask one person and they might say security. Okay, well, then we have to look at different things to protect you. Maybe things with insurance and things with your spending and things like that. Someone else might say the most important thing about money is I want to retire early. Well, obviously, then your plan would need an increased emphasis on your savings and investment and stocking as much money away as possible. You know, someone else might say, well, you know, we want to have a family and one person wants to stay home from work. So all of these plans are different. And if you focus on what's most important to you about money, then the chances of your plan working are so much higher because you would be achieving what you really want in your life rather than someone coming in and, you know, setting up some generic budget for you for some savings program that you really don't understand what the end game is. So you really have to understand what about money is going to make the most impact in your life and then focus on your plan like a laser on that strategy.
On a personal note, we've gone through these journeys ourselves. I was working full-time before we had our family, and that was really a goal of ours. And at the time, my income was significantly higher than Tony's, and it didn't really seem feasible, to be honest with you. Yet he put together a plan, and that plan afforded us the ability that I was able to stay home with our children when they were small, and then it kind of segued into us starting the business, so I was still able to stay home and generate income. So this all can be done. There's lots of naysayers out there because they don't see the vision that you may have, or they themselves can't carve out that dream and they almost resent you for having that dream or even trying to attain that dream, and you cannot be thwarted.
Right. And to be honest with you, if you don't have a plan for yourself, you'll become part of someone else's plan. And that's just how life is.
The tail wagging the dog.
That's right. The you know, the planners control things. So it's up to you to make a choice and say, am I going to be at the mercy of other people with their finances? Or am I going to create something with goals for 3 years and 5 years and 10 years and to, you know, and monitor it? And even though this sounds like an overwhelming you know, thing to accomplish. It really isn't. It really, you know, 10 hours a year spending time on this stuff would probably be enough to create a pretty decent plan. So I would think we could all spend, you know, take 10 hours from our time each year to just focus on what we want to accomplish with our money.
Okay, don't forget to visit the website, atiinvestment.com. When we return, let's get busy easing your budget fears and learn how to teach your college kids how to cut the fat so that you don't have to keep bailing them out. Stay tuned. Don't miss a thing. Hello and welcome back. You're listening to Financially Fit on 103.9 LI News Radio. Tony and I were just getting ready to help you not dread the B word, budget.
Yeah.
That makes some people very, very nervous.
I wake up in a cold sweat.
We don't want you to sweat this. We've got you covered. We have some nice and easy tips to get you started getting a handle on your budget.
Yeah, I think budget too. And again, whenever someone mentions budget, it's like going to jail, right? Because now, oh, I'm budgeting. That means lots of things are going to be fun. Things will be, you know, cut out of my life, and nobody wants to be told what to do. So, yeah, there's a lot of negative connotation when people hear the word budget.
If you look at it as a way to kind of take inventory of what you've got and where it's going and making sure that it goes where you want it to go, that's a better way of looking at budget.
Yeah, and
it's
also
control,
exactly. And, you know, it can't be too restrictive. It has to have some flexibility built into it because things change. And it also can't be for too long a time period. Creating a budget for a month is fine. You know, a yearly budget is a pretty tough thing to do because predicting what's going to happen, you know, 12 months from now is impossible. So a monthly budget that's flexible would be a great start. There's a better chance of you following it than putting all kinds of restrictions and having every cent, you know, allocated for the next year. That probably is not going to work. It is like dieting, you know, going on a diet where you're going to eat beet soup every day, you know, for the next 360 days. Yeah, you might lose weight, but you know, after a few days that's gone, you know, and you're going to be running to McDonald's or something. So, you know, a budget that's too restrictive, like a diet that's too restrictive, will not work.
A really easy way to get yourself started, you know, Tony said, look at it for the month. Start with 1 week, because if you track your expenses for 1 week, you have a pretty good sense of what the other 3 weeks in that month are going to bring. And if you build in, obviously, the monthly charges that you know that you have, whether it's mortgage, rent, car payment, etc., get those out of the way. And now suddenly you're breaking down this month into 1 week. And that seems a lot more doable.
Yeah. And again, I think index cards are great because that's how people learn. People learn with chunks of information. You know, when it's all in one big spot, it's very difficult for people. But in small chunks, it's really how our brain works. So you could make an index card and just put what you call your fixed expenses on it. And that's the stuff you know. It's going to be the same every single month. Then make another index card with your variable expenses. And that could be more flexible there. You kind of know you have certain bills, you know, but they're not the same every month. And you could kind of start to work from there.
And a really important part of your budget needs to be the saving or investment component. If you do not have that emergency fund yet funded, that's what you're going to fund first. If you already have that funded, then you're going to look to do your investments. And here's the thing, that number has to be realistic and it also has to be repeatable, and you have to pay it first. You pay it just like you'd pay your mortgage or rent. It is non-negotiable. The kids' new pair of sneakers, the dinner out, they're subordinate to this number. That's how important this number should be.
Right. It's almost, you know, I like to call it a reverse budget.
Yes.
You know, put the money away first, and then it gives you the freedom to spend whatever, you know, you could spend the rest of it. So if your goal was, you know, we need to put $600 a month away, and that's put away immediately, deducted from your checking account automatically going into your savings account every month. Whatever's left over can be spent without guilt. You'll have to figure it out, you know, how to allocate it and into your different bills and recreational stuff, but you will have that freedom. And I find just psychologically, it sounds better that, oh, I could spend the rest of my money rather than basically, you know, hoping that there's money left over at the end. You'll automatically make sure there is a surplus by creating a system like this.
For someone who hasn't been saving, what would be a good number percentage for them to target? 10%?
Well, 10% would be the minimum. You know, you really, I think 15% is really where you want to get to. But you know what?
20 if you can.
Yeah, if you can. But to be honest with you, if not saving anything and you're saving 5%, it's a heck of a lot better than what you had. So you want, I would work up to it. You know, you might want to start at a lower number and then increase it 1% each year, right? So if you start at 5, within 5 years, you're saving 10%, and within 10 years, you're saving 15% without really having any effect upon your life, because 1% of your income over a year's time is not noticeable. But like compounding interest, over time, if you keep increasing your savings rate by 1% a year, you'll be amazed where you can be in a decade or so. And again, this is about the long term. It's not about the short term.
Absolutely. So pay attention to what your surplus is. If your surplus is really growing, it's time to put some more money aside. Also, keep in mind that factored into that savings number is retirement plans that you may be contributing to through work. So you may hit your number just by putting into your 401k, your 403b. So again, it's not as daunting as you might think.
No, it really isn't.
Okay. Now let's focus on what we can do for your children, because it ultimately affects your budget if your kids are constantly hitting you up for money.
You know, you better not do your belt. You might cause a flower lodge.
It's August. Lots of kids are getting ready to go to college for the first time, or perhaps have their first job and now they're handling their own money. What ways can you guide them so that they start to stand on their own? Again, it's going to tie into the budget, and it's something called needs and wants.
Yeah, and if with adults, with kids, it doesn't matter who you are. If you can't distinguish between those two, you've got a problem. You're really going to have a problem accomplishing your goals. I mean, you could just simply think of it as a kid in college to explain it, you know, needs textbook. Wants Starbucks. Your needs are something you need to survive. So in school, you need your textbooks to do well and pass your exams and graduate, right? That's something, there's no negotiation. Starbucks every day, on the other hand, is certainly a want and could be a very expensive want over time. And even though it doesn't sound like a lot, you know, $6 or $7 a day over a college semester of 3 or 4 months is significant money. That's a few textbooks right there.
Have them buy a coffee pot. It would be a lot cheaper.
Exactly. And you know, and this will cut those phone calls down of, you know, I need money and there's no money on my debit card, and, you know, possibly even keep them from using a credit card and getting themselves into trouble. So if you just could get them into the thought pattern of, before you purchase something, in your head, needs or wants. Obviously, you have a limited amount of money to spend, so what you need, the money has to be spent on that first, and whatever's left over can take care of what you want.
And give them a sense of what they can be spending a week, because again, I think a lot of times kids aren't paying attention to it, and if they know that they have the parent bank backing them up, it makes it a lot easier for them to get in over their heads. So make sure that you're giving them that guideline, and also be very clear about what you plan on covering and what they're responsible for. And most importantly, stick to it, because if you cave on that, you'll be bailing them out forever. They'll be 35 and living in your basement.
Right, and which unfortunately, you know, that's not uncommon today. And it's not about your income, what you're making. It's about what you do with the money and the plans that you have. So you can't be stressed enough.
Moving right along to your homework assignment.
I've come so far. I'm baby stepping. I'm doing the work. I'm baby stepping. I'm not a slacker.
Okay. Tony, I think 3M should pay you because you keep talking about index cards. Is 3M who makes index cards?
Yeah, they probably do. Okay. They pretty much make.
Well, he wants you to take out index cards. For those of you who are more technologically savvy, I'm sure you have a better solution to this.
But the index cards, to be honest, it's simple. It's something you could do. And, you know, your baby step, again, you make a few of those index cards. Create your balance sheet on one index card. Put why money is important to you, a couple of reasons, on another index card. Put your income statement on an index card. These are things. If you just do one of those three things this week, it will put you on a path to success and point you in the right direction. So, again, it's up to you and what you want to do with your time. Do you want to spend it, you know, constructively and really start becoming serious about your finances, or you know, if you're listening and then just saying, oh, that sounds really good, and yeah, that's a good idea, and then go back to watching, you know, the Desperate Housewives of wherever, or are they desperate?
No, they're not desperate.
No, they're other things.
The real housewives.
But, yeah, well, they're not really real either. They're pretty plastic. But
we hope you enjoyed today's show, and we really want to hear from you. Call us, 631-675-1420. Email me, Dina, D-I-N-A, at ATIinvestment.com, and visit our website. Until next week, be well and financially fit.